Welcome back to the Blessed to Hunt podcast. I'm Reed, sitting with
Sebby.
Yeah, we're back. Thank you for tuning in with us. This is our Bible study, and today we're going to be diving in on Matthew 6, 33 and 34. Sebby, could you read for us 6, 33 and 34?
Yeah, I'm going to read those verses real quick, and then we'll kind of backtrack a little bit earlier on the chapter.
Yeah, so give a little context.
Yeah. All right, so Matthew 6, 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So these are Jesus' words. We're going to go back now to chapter 6, verse 19. Some of the words leading up to this passage that we're going to focus on. So 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and thieves break in and steal. 20, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be.
Which this is all talking about building up the kingdom.
Yeah.
And how do we build up the kingdom and where to even start, really? And talking here about, I refer to this a lot, and we can relate to, you know, we'll relate this to a few things for us, but for where your treasure is, your heart will also be.
Mm-hmm.
Could you go ahead and hit us with 24 as well? And then we can talk some more about both of those.
Yeah, for sure. So verse 24 then goes on to say, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Man, I've always read that as Jesus specifically talking about money, but I really think it, the main thing there is no one can serve two masters, and he gives an example of not being able to serve both God and money.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the important thing there is that you can't serve two masters. I mean, you can do lots of other things and have obviously a career and likes and dislikes and preferences, right. But like...
Yeah, it doesn't say it's bad. You know, God, Jesus isn't saying these things are bad. It's just saying you can't serve those as a master. You know, you can't have two masters at the same time. And he goes as far as to say, I mean, what he's inferring here is he says love and hate. You can only, you either hate one and love the other or vice versa.
Yeah.
So Jesus is saying if you put these other things as your masters, you hate me.
Yeah.
You hate Jesus,
yeah.
Right? Which is profound. Like, to me, I don't hate Jesus,
yeah,
you know?
I guess it's like choosing his lordship, you know, and it's not something to share, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's number one. We can only have one. That's enough, you know? And we want to mention here that with hunting for us, putting it as number one, over Jesus, you're then serving, that is your master. And I've struggled with that. You know, I think anybody's really passionate about hunting or fishing, really anything in our lives, we can make things idols, you know, and idolize these things or even people. And some people make their spouse their master, you know, it could be anything.
It could be anything. Yeah.
But Jesus is telling us, just keep me number one. So,
yeah.
I want to read verse 25. So this is 6:25 now. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?
Powerful.
We need to keep that front of mind as we get to this second part of what we're covering today. So with verse 33, that relates a little bit more to 19 through 24, and then verse 34 is going to relate to what we just read there, verse 25 through 27. So let's get to what we're really diving in on with 33. So we've laid out some context here. Y'all can understand what Jesus was saying before he got to what we're reading now in verse 33. But I want to read it again here, just so it's front of mind. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. So for me, it's like my first question, what I see there is what's the kingdom? What are we talking about with the kingdom? And it's everything can be part of God's kingdom if it's for him, yeah. You know? But I think a lot of people are going to, my first thought would be the church, you know? And the people of the church and growing the church, I think, is what probably most people would think first. I don't know what you would consider, like.
Yeah, well, so the obviously there's a huge component to the church, you know, but I think the important thing about the church is if the church is, or any local church or any ministries, is doing the work and you know, fulfilling the Great Commission, which is, you know, to make disciples. So basically to have him known, to have Jesus known, and to help other believers in that path. Mm. And so that happens in church, but it also happens outside of church, of course, you know. And when I say church, I'm in this like context, I'm talking about the building, but we are talking about specifically that this verse relates to the big church, you know, capital C, meaning anywhere where God is brought in, invited into, or anywhere where he is, which is obviously he lives in us through the Holy Spirit. So church can happen anywhere all the time, you know. So
for sure,
if you work in the hospital like I do, if you work out in the community like Reed does, if you work, you know, in a school, anywhere where you are, any profession, if you're a stay-at-home parent, your ministry, your church is everywhere. And no doubt. I think the important thing here is that his kingdom, seeking him, you know, it says, but seek first his kingdom. That can happen anywhere. And obviously, you know, because of the focus of our podcast, like that happens with us through hunting, whether it's like relationships, you know, that we have nearby, or, you know, national wide, or even like overseas, or, you know, people that we meet, we're always trying to make sure that we are remembering that Jesus is number one, that he is his altar first,
for sure.
And then we're seeking him, not putting hunting, not putting people, not putting, you know, trophy hunting or whatever
the animal,
before God, but that God is number one, and that we're seeking him. And then the beautiful part about that is where the second part of this passage goes to
the promise,
right?
Because he gives us a task, right? Seek, Jesus saying, seek first the Father's kingdom and his righteousness. So we should be chasing righteousness as well. And then, and hunting, that I've referred to it before, but that Greek word dieko, chasing, hunting after, like what, you know, our whole idea here with the name, the blessed to hunt, we're hunting for God, and we should be hunting after the kingdom, chasing, seeking the kingdom, and same thing with righteousness. So it gives us a task, and then the promise, which is what you were getting to there.
Yeah. So the second part of 33 is, once you seek his kingdom and his righteousness wherever you are, and then all these things will be given to you as well. Mm-hmm. So he makes a reference to the first part that we read, where it was saying,
Our treasures,
treasures, and you know, so basically being blessed, having financial prosperity, you know, fulfilling, building up ourselves,
right.
As far right. as like your personality, your strength, you know,
yeah,
and yeah, then definitely. Later on down there, it goes on to say, you know. The food that you eat, the yep. the drink that you drink, the clothes, yeah. your housing, basically seek, and this is what I gather from it, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, make sure that I am number one, yep. and then I'll take care of everything and else.
All the needs. All your needs.
Including, you know, hopefully being successful out in the woods. For sure. But
definitely,
you know,
bro, and, definitely.
And, yeah, I mean,
it's true. He'll bless it.
And can you be successful, you know, whether it's at work or out in the woods, without putting God first? Yes, you can. But
it's going to
be empty. So I think the call to action here is, hey, no matter what happens, like, check yourself and make sure that God is number one.
I want to dive in on what you just said there, bro. That has unlocked a lot for me. I was just listening to something yesterday. It was talking about manifesting, and it was his podcast, and he was talking about, well, somebody asked him, the guy he was interviewing, he said, what do you think about manifesting, right? And he's like, does it work? Yeah, it does work, right? So like what you just said, you can make things happen, and God will allow that as well. But what comes from it, the fruits from it, might be terrible, right? Like you could go make this, I'm gonna relate this to honey, but like you could go make a bunch of money and do it the wrong way, right? Go buy land, go grow a deer and kill a 200, right? Like you could do that. It's very difficult, of course, but like you could just force it without God with you the whole time, and you can make it happen and push and push and push, and then God's like, okay, here, you can have your will, and then your life could crumble after that.
Yeah.
Now, if you do it with God's will and through prayer and aligning yourself with God's will, it is going to be a way better outcome. But it's something to consider, is that we can, you know, like make things happen. God is all powerful and he can stop us from doing things. But when it works and we are working within his will, it's going to be 10 times better
yeah.
than what we can. But like you said, you can do that. We have free will and we can make things happen, but that doesn't mean it's the right thing. Or the good thing, or the for the kingdom thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean,
I dive in on that, dude.
When
you brought that up, it just like
that's good.
Unlocked some stuff for me, man. That's good.
Yeah. Well, the truth is, and I mean, Reed and I have been talking, and we talk often, of course, yeah. but we both have had moments every year where we either purposely choose to put God first, or God will find a way to nudge us into saying, hey, this is fun and you're doing a good job and you know, you're gonna be successful, but
for sure.
but don't forget I'm number one.
Number one.
Don't
yeah.
forget.
Yeah.
It's my altar. Don't forget. I don't share, you know, deceit.
For
and
sure.
so remembering that, is important, you know. So whether you're an experienced hunter or, you know, a veteran hunter, a new believer, old believer, it's just like every year God checks my heart and reminds me of, you know, his lordship, you know. And so it's easy to get caught up in the season and success and killing something big or like even with good, you know, intentions of like
right.
bringing some meat for your family and for friends. And so it's all good things, right? But the call to action here is to remember that Jesus is number one.
For sure.
And if we can remember that and seek him first and his righteousness, then you know, we're setting ourselves up for real success.
Yeah.
You know, success that matters, success that can't be destroyed, can't be stolen, can't shake us.
Yeah, for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Man, I want to say with that, a note, just an extra side note, with the promise that God gives us lots of promises. You know, if we pay attention to the word, like Jesus has given us promises here, and I just had a little thing written down. God is not unpredictable. He gave us his promises and his predictability through his word. Like, I believe that new Christians or even myself, I'll think, like, man, God is just wild. Like, you know, like reckless or not, you know, like unpredictable. And if you pay attention, he's not unpredictable at all. He gave us his predictability through his word. And we can, if we focus on that, and I think that's part of like the righteousness and sinking the kingdom is paying attention to those things and the promises that he gives us and using that to know that, which would then lead us with what we're saying here, like praying and being within his will. You're going to be a lot, we're going to be able to be more confident if we have those promises front of mind. You know what I mean? It's going to guide us even more so when we know, okay, God promised this, like this must be something I'm missing or something, you know, like I'm not picking it up in the right way or whatever. I need to go back to the word. I got to refer to the word and go back to the promises that he made. Let's get to 34 here. I'm going to read it again. So it's front of mind. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. First thing, do not worry. As we read 25 through 27, Jesus is, I'm going to paraphrase here, but he talks about the birds and the flowers and God clothes them and feeds them, and we worry about him taking care of us.
Yeah.
When the birds fly around and the flowers are beautiful, we don't even consider it.
No.
We just like act like it's not, you know, we expect it, right? And if God is willing to take care of the flowers and the birds, and he's going to take care of us, you know?
Yeah, it's a beautiful verse. I mean, that is still part of that promise, you know, where it starts with, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So God is basically saying, hey, take care of my business.
Right.
And I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
You know, do not worry about all these other things and where you know, food and just worry about my business. Worry about what I asked you to worry about. You know,
right.
Be intentional
right.
about
right.
that.
Right.
And then I'll take care of everything else.
Yeah, so it begs the question, how do we deal with worry, right? So what does God tell us? What do we do when we're worried? Because it's easy to say, don't worry. You know, and Jesus is saying this, therefore do not worry. But he gives us some context, like, don't worry about tomorrow. So he instantly says, don't worry. And a lot of people are like, okay, I'm not going to worry today, right? It's like, well, what about tomorrow? What about the future? What about this? You know, what about 10 years? What about you name it? He instantly goes, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about forever is what he's saying. Yeah. I've got that. I got it covered. So he's kind of insinuating a little bit here of what he's going to be doing on the cross. I would say he's like, don't worry. I got it.
I got you forever.
I got it covered, you know? Yeah. And each day has enough trouble of its own. So what I wanted to say with how we deal with this worry is, number one, when we are worried, we have to just grab it and take it to God. Take it captive and just take it to God and hand it to him. And I was watching a sermon before we jumped on today, and the guy it was Philip Anthony Mitchell. He did a really cool example. He picked up his Bible and he went and set it on the pulpit, and he goes, this is what you do. You walk over and you set it down and you give it to him, and you turn up your back and walk away and be like, okay, God's got it. And then goes, now here's what happens. If we turn back to, and we worry again about the same thing, he's like, now watch this. I walk to the pulpit and I grab it from God. Like, don't worry, God, I got this. That's what we're doing when we grab that worry again.
Yeah.
Like, you know what, God, actually, you can't handle this. I can. I got this. So we have to not do that. Just give it to him and walk away and just know Trust him. He gives us a promise that he's got it. And then we want to take every thought captive. And what I want to read Philippians 2:10-11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Take that worry and that thought and grab it and tell it, your knee will bow. Just like Jesus says that in Philippians here, every knee will bow, heaven and on earth and under the earth and everywhere. Take that thought captive and tell it, Jesus is the King.
Yes.
Not you. And that goes back again to what we just referenced earlier with, we have one master, we have one King, and it's Jesus. But going to kind of close out here. Do you have anything else you want to add in?
No. I guess my suggestion would be to make sure that as season gets here, I mean, it's just around the corner, that you're not forgetting, because it's easy to forget. We get busy, you know, there's so much to do. You get super excited and pumped. We're super pumped. For sure, bro. But you just got to make sure that you put God first. You put God first, make sure that you only have God in your altar. Not hunting, not the outdoors, not fishing, nothing. God first, and then He is gracious and awesome to allow you to enjoy these things and have a great time and have success. So just put Him first.
I want to finish with this. This relates to the worry. I want to finish with Psalm 13. And y'all just take, anytime you're worried, read Psalm 13. And meditate on it, and again, take that thought captive and tell, I have power over you. Do not have power over me. We have the power of Jesus Christ with us. So this is Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Thank y'all for listening. We love y'all. God bless y'all. Good luck this season. Go shoot your bow.
Practice, yes.
And we'll catch you on the next one.